Our series through Romans for just a couple weeks. This morning, Pastor Ross is preaching for a sister church, and then next week, Caleb Bowman will be preaching for us, and so we'll pause for just a few weeks here before returning to Romans. I want to make sure you're aware of something really exciting that's happening. Over the last 2 weeks, we've had four different men from our church preach at sister churches in our area. And this is exciting because what it means is that God has blessed our church with men who are able to preach, not just here, but even to bless other churches. And so in God's providence, it seems that the opportunities are increasing as more and more churches reach out to us and ask if we could provide some pulpit supply. And in God's providence, as the opportunities are increasing, then the ability is increasing even. So last week, Brad Burke was preaching, and then I preached last Sunday evening for another church. And then this morning, Pastor Ross is preaching down in Linden, and then Bill Eds is preaching as well this morning at another church. And so maybe you can just be in prayer for these men and pray that our church would continue to be able to bless and serve other churches. God has been very, very kind and very generous to us, and so we want to be generous as much as we can be. Well, let's pray, and then we'll jump into Hebrews chapter 12. God, I pray that no matter what season we're in, some are in the valley, some feel like they're on the mountaintop, some have been through deep waters, some have been through the testing fire of trials, I pray that we would lift our gaze from our circumstance while still acknowledging it, not minimizing it, but lift our gaze to you, trusting that you are the good shepherd who guides us, who leads us, even in the valley. Lord, we pray that we would endure, that we would keep believing, that we would not quit. And in all this, we pray that we would look to Jesus. We thank you that Jesus did not quit, but he endured all the way to the end so that we could have new life. We pray this all in his name. Amen. So have you ever wanted to quit? Maybe I should say, when's the last time you wanted to quit? Maybe it's school, maybe it's a job, maybe it's something else, but we've all probably been there. We felt like quitting. I vividly remember the moment in my life when I most wanted to quit. It was about this time of year, about 14 years ago, I had signed up for the Journeys Marathon. Now, the Journeys Marathon is in Eagle River, Wisconsin, and because it's in May, it should be perfect weather for running. But it's in Wisconsin. Northern Wisconsin, and so the night before the marathon, we got 4 inches of snow. I got enough coffee in me to really be excited about this, if you can be excited about running 26.2 miles. And I started out on this marathon through these backwoods of northern Wisconsin. And as a runner who's been training for this, the first 10 miles are usually somewhat enjoyable. You've signed up, you've prepared, now you're experiencing it. And then you hit what every runner, every marathon runner has hit, the wall. Usually mile 18 or thereabouts. And I hit the wall, and the wall hit me. And I'm trudging through 4 inches of snow. It's something like 25 degrees out. And I'm thinking, why keep going? Nobody will even know if I quit, other than those people I might tell. This isn't a big race, a famous race. There's no media here. I signed up with a friend just because we thought it'd be a fun challenge. Fun challenge, running a marathon. And if I quit now, it's really not that big of a deal. I didn't expect 4 inches of snow and 25 degree weather. And I wanted to quit so badly. What did I need in that moment? Well, besides a meal and a bed, what I really needed in that moment is I needed endurance. I needed to keep going. I needed to not quit. How do you not quit? You keep going. How do you keep going? You don't quit. And in that moment, I needed to endure. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, we are called to endure. We are called to run with endurance. So if you're keeping notes, the title is simply Run with Endurance. We've already read the passage, and so you see this passage is a metaphor. It's talking about a race. It calls us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. No doubt you've been in a race. Maybe you're thinking, you don't know me very well if you think I've been. Well, maybe it was elementary school field day, or with your siblings growing up, or some context. But no doubt you've been at some point in your life, you've been in a race. Maybe it was a race of motor vehicles, whether legal or not. You've been in a race. And that's the image, that's the illustration used here by God for the Christian life. Now, we need to understand at the very beginning here that this race is a race that's given to every Christian. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not in the race. You're invited to join the race, but Jesus brings us into the race. You might say Jesus signs us up for the race. He registers up for the race by saving us. And so if you're in Christ, you've been called to this race of life. It's a race of faith. If you noticed last week in the bulletin, the reading for this coming Sunday, for today, was to read through Hebrews chapter 11. And whether you did that or not, you probably know Hebrews 11 well enough to know that it's just a list of individuals who lived by faith. 20 times in Hebrews 11, we read by faith. By faith. The chapter, Hebrews 11, begins with this definition of faith. You can look back to Hebrews 11, verse 1. What is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then 20 different times, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And how does Hebrews 11 end? Look at verse 39, Hebrews 11, 39. All these 19 individuals mentioned, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And then we get to 12:1. So this is clearly a race of faith. We are called to run with endurance this race that these individuals in Hebrews 11 have already run. It's clearly a race of faith. It's always been a race of faith. How did you get saved? By faith. By grace you are saved through faith. How do you change? Well, you are sanctified by faith. Hebrews 10:23, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So hold fast to what you've believed. Continue believing. We are sanctified by faith, and one day we'll be glorified by faith. Hebrews 10:35, don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you can receive what is promised. So you enter this race by faith, you run it by faith, and one day you'll be glorified. You'll cross the finish line by faith. This is the image. This is the illustration. Some of you are thinking, how convenient of you, Pastor Kevin, to preach a sermon about running. Well, I didn't come up with the illustration. God gave it to us, and I like preaching it. What is this race? Well, it's a race of faith. How do you win it? How do you win it? You see, the races that you've probably been in, it's a competition, right? And who wins? The person who finishes first, right? That's not true of the race of the Christian life. How do you win this race? By finishing. By making it home. By getting there. By enduring. By not quitting at mile 18. When you're tempted to quit. When you've hit the wall. You win the race by finishing the race. By finishing well. By enduring all the way to the end. Hebrews 6 says this. We desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but instead imitate those who through faith and endurance inherit the promises. Romans 6, I think referring to Romans 11, I'm sorry, Hebrews 6, referring to Hebrews 11, saying, inherit what they inherited by doing what they did, which is endure all the way to the end. The Christian life is a race of endurance. And what's the finish line? Hebrews 11, 16 says, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. God is preparing for them a city. So we run to a better country, a better city. That's the finish line. Now, with all this then as context, okay, so we know what the race is. It's the Christian life. It's a race of faith. We know how to win it. We win it not by finishing first, but by finishing well. We understand what awaits us at the end. It's a better city. God is preparing for us our final home, our real home. Well, then, if you're like me, you want to know, okay, how does that change what I do on mile 18? Like, that all can be true, and I can believe all that. But when I'm struggling, when I feel like quitting, maybe the quitting you feel isn't anything like a physical running race, but maybe it's the race of parenting. Maybe you're a parent that, I've been there, your stamina runs out at noon, and the kids are just getting ramped up at noon, and their endurance goes, seems like, till midnight, and your endurance ends around midday, and you need endurance to keep going. Or maybe it's in your job. You know God's called you to provide for your family. You know that work is good when done for the Lord, and yet you hate going to work. And it seems like that clock doesn't move at all. And you believe that God has you there right now, at least that day for that job, but you want to quit so badly. Or maybe it's really what's in view here, which is belief, the gospel, Christianity. And you see around you all these reasons to quit. And you even know of people that you thought they were in the race with you, and yet now it sure seems like they've quit the race. And they seem to be doing fine. Maybe they even seem happier now that they've quit the race. And you're tempted to quit. So then, how does Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, how does it help us endure? How do we actually endure by faith? Well, we must do what the original recipients of this letter were told to do. They were told to keep running, and they were given reasons to endure. First of all, chapter 12, verse 1 says to feel the encouragement of others. Feel the encouragement of others. How does chapter 12 start? Therefore, which means we must tie this to what comes before it, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What's this cloud of witnesses? Well, it's everybody mentioned in Hebrews 11. Many mentioned by name, many mentioned not by name, just referred to. And they have finished the race. And now they're looking at us. And now we are to feel the encouragement that they did it, and so we can too. What was Noah's race? Noah was called to run a race that included him believing in something that hadn't yet been experienced, him investing decades of his life to prepare for that experience while others mocked him, and then him, by faith, stepping into that boat and being saved. What kind of race was Abraham called to? Abraham was said, move from where you live to a place I'll show you. Talk about faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Move to a place I'll show you. Oh, and then later on, after God says, I've promised all your descendants will be like the stars of the sky and the sand on the sea, I've given you one son, and now you have to give him back to me. That's the race that Abraham was called to run, and he did it. And you can read, of course, of Moses and Rahab, of Gideon and Samson and David and Samuel, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and the list just keeps going. So, what tempts you to quit? What is tempting you right now to quit? Look to those who finished. Feel their encouragement. They did it. They did it. They did it, dare I say, in circumstances much more challenging than ours. They did it. Feel their encouragement. I've been in quite a few different races, and one of the most amazing things that happens during a race is as you get closer to the end, you start to see more and more finishers. Back in 2015, I signed up for the CRIM. Many of you know the CRIM, I think, stands for the coolest race in Michigan. Right? It's a race in Flint during the heat of the summer, but it's cool. And it's a huge race through Flint, 10 miles. And some of you have run it. Some of you are planning to run it this year. So I entered it, and I ran the CRIM. Now, they have you enter by anticipated finish time. So they send waves of runners, and of course, the fast ones go first. I was not toward the front. I was not there. So what happens is that you're running 10 miles through Flint, and there's all kinds of people who live near the race course or who have come out there for that morning, and they're cheering you on. And there's some fun signs, and they're yelling for you, encouraging you to keep going. And that's all great. As runners, we love it when people cheer us on. But for me, around mile 5, something more significant happened. Around mile 5, I started to see these people on the side of the race course, and they had these things around their necks. And you know what this is? It's a finisher's medal. You know how to get this? You finish. You finish. And as much as I appreciated the non-runners cheering us on, you know what I really appreciated? Those finishers. And you know what they were doing? They were yelling, "Boo! Slow down!" No, they weren't yelling that. What were they yelling? "Come on, you can do this. Keep going. We did it. You can too." And as a runner, that means so much. Hebrews 11 is given to us so that we'll see we can do this. By God's grace, we can do this. You know, one of the greatest benefits of being involved in a local church like this one? There are people who have finished the race well. And maybe you've gathered in this room for their funeral. And whether it's Ernie Harriman or Dave Anthony, or you can fill in the blank, you go, "They did it. They did it." You should get to know some people who, of course, we're not sure when any of us will pass, but there are some people who it seems like they're closer to the end than we are. Get to know them. Talk with Cap Proctor. Talk with Barb Arms. Ask them about the trials of their race. Ask them how they've endured by faith. Feel the encouragement. When you're in a valley, when you want to quit, feel the encouragement of others. The second way to endure, the end of verse 1, says to hear the exhortation of God. So we feel the encouragement of others. They've done it. So by God's grace, we can too. And then, middle of verse 1, let us also. Let us also. We're called to look at their example and do the same thing. Let us also do what? Well, there are three commands at the end of verse 1. What are they? First of all, we're commanded to lay aside every weight. What's the second command? Lay aside the sin that clings so closely. What's the third command? Run. Run. So first, lay aside every weight. What are weights? Well, of course, in a physical race, there are weights like maybe the warm-up jacket that you wore to the race. There are other weights that you could carry with you, but who would want to do that? So you lay them aside. In the running world, millions of dollars are spent in just shaving off a few ounces of a runner's clothing or shoes. It's big business because they know that laying aside just an ounce or two makes a difference. It helps you endure. So we're called to lay aside a weight. What's a weight in the Christian life? Well, these weights are not necessarily sins. These could even be good things that God has blessed you with. But as you run, they slow you down. They drag you down. They cause you to want to quit even more. What is it for you? What's a weight in your life? Maybe a good thing by itself, and yet because maybe of how much you enjoy it and how much you love it, it distracts you. It weighs you down. For me, probably the most obvious one is sports. I really love sports. Playing, watching, coaching, I love it. And I think it's a good gift from God that can be used for His purposes, and yet it can also be a weight that just drags me down. I can spend more time doing that than running the race. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe if I know you well, I can guess what it might be. But what is it? What is it? If it's dragging you down, we're called to lay it aside, to set it. It's not worth quitting to follow that thing. Tonight, as we gather in small groups all around this area, one of the questions I want us to discuss is what is a weight for you? And how can you lay that aside in obedience to this command? We're also called, secondly, to lay aside the sin which clings so closely. It's pretty obvious that this sin is the sin of unbelief. That's what the book of Hebrews has been about. All throughout the book of Hebrews, God's people are commanded to keep believing. And there are examples after example of people who didn't receive the reward at the end because of unbelief. So keep your finger in Hebrews 12, but turn to Hebrews 3, Hebrews chapter 3. We'll return to chapter 12 in just a moment. But I want you to see this, Hebrews chapter 3. Look at verse 12. Hebrews 3:12, take care, brothers, so talking to Christians, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Then verses 13 down through verse 16, 17 speak of the example of the Israelites, this faithless generation who didn't receive the promised land. Look at verse 19, Hebrews 3:19. So we see they were unable to enter, or using the Hebrews 12 metaphor, they didn't cross the finish line. Why? Because of what? Because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. This sin of unbelief, it really manifests itself uniquely in all of us. So how does unbelief tempt you? We sang earlier, we are all prone to wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. If that's true, how are you tempted to wander? How are you tempted to leave the God who saved you? How are you tempted to give up following Christ? You can turn back to Hebrews 12 now. This belief that we're called to, and in contrast with this unbelief that we're told to lay aside, this is the belief of all the saints in Hebrews 11. Moses was called to leave riches and comfort. Moses was called to lead a rebellion against the king. And he was called to keep serving people who resisted his leadership. And he did, by faith, because he kept believing. Daniel kept believing, even when it meant he would be thrown into a den of lions. So we are called to lay aside the weight, lay aside the sin of unbelief. And then the third command in verse 1 is what? Let us run. Here, I think we're called to hear the exhortation of God. Some of you know I've coached quite a few different sports, and one of the easiest sports to coach is running. So I've coached basketball, coached soccer, and so different practices will look differently based on the time of the season, what's going on, what's coming up. So for basketball, it's common, for a player to come at the beginning of practice and say, "Hey, coach, what are we doing today in practice?" And, he wants to know, are we going to scrimmage? Are we going to work on drills? When I coached cross country, the runners would come to me at the beginning of practice and say, "Hey, coach, what are we doing today during practice?" "We're going to run." Next day, "Hey, coach, what are we doing today during practice?" "We're going to run." You can ask me the next day, it's going to be the same answer, right? That's what we do. Once a meet begins, once we get to the day of the meet, cross country or track, whatever it is, and the meet begins, I have very little responsibility, unlike basketball, right? In basketball, you call a timeout, there's situational things, you call plays out, onto the floor. As a coach in cross country, what do? You yell, "Run! Run more! Run faster! Keep running!" It's just a little faulty glimpse of what God does for us here. He says, run with endurance. Don't quit. Don't quit. Hear this exhortation from God. God is calling to you, fellow Christian. He's calling to you right now saying, keep going. Keep going. Believe. Get rid of things that are slowing you down. Finish the race. Finish it well, or else you won't receive the reward. The final way that we endure by faith is we look to Jesus. We see the example of Jesus. This is verse 2, right? Look down at verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Earlier, we're called to remember other saints, especially the Old Testament saints in chapter 11. We're called to feel the encouragement of this cloud of witnesses, right? They're looking at us. They're cheering us on. Who are we to look to? Not the crowd. We're to look to Jesus. When I coached track and field just a few years ago, we had a very fast runner. I won't mention his name, but he was very, very, very fast. And so he was a sprinter. He ran a 100-meter dash. He had only one problem, though. Invariably, he'd get halfway out on the 100-meter dash, maybe 60 meters out, and he'd be in front. He won almost every race he competed in. And in that moment, what's he supposed to do? Keep going, endure to the end. But in that moment, he would always look over his shoulder. And he was usually in the lead, but he'd look over his shoulder. Now, I don't know that it ever cost him a finishing spot, but as a coach, every time we would say, "Hey, great job, you won. But you know what? Your time is not as good as it could have been because you looked over your shoulder." "Did I?" "Yeah, you did." Every race. We're called not to look at other things, but we're called to look to Jesus. He's the one who began our faith. He's the founder. He's the one who completes our faith. He's the perfecter. And what do we look to specifically? We'll look again in verse 2. What do we look to Jesus? We look to the one who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. You might feel like you're at mile 18. You might feel like you're hitting the wall. And those are real circumstances. That feeling isn't fake. But look to Jesus, who for your sake endured the cross. He didn't quit. He didn't quit the cross. Yes, he prayed in the garden, "Lord, if it's possible, take this from me. But if it's your will, I'm going to do this." And he went to the cross all the way because of the joy that was beyond the cross, because of the joy that was on the other side of the trial, because of the joy beyond the agony. So because of that joy, he even despised or thought little of the shame. One of the things that tempts us to quit is just the thoughts of others, what other people might think of us. If we're really going to run the race well, it's going to look odd to people if we really lay aside every weight and lay aside the sin of others. It's going to look strange, and we're going to feel that other people look at us differently and look at us oddly, think we're strange. And Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, thought little of the shame. And now he has received reward. He's seated at the right hand of God. So look to Jesus. See the example of Christ. He wasn't hindered by these trials. He endured to the end. We're going to do this together in just a moment as we consider what Jesus did for us on the cross. So after I pray in just a few minutes, then we'll sing, we're going to consider Jesus. We're going to look to him. Look to his perfect life in our place, the life we could not have lived. We're going to look to his death. We're going to look to his body that was broken for us, his blood that was shed for us in our place. We're going to look to the agony that he endured. He didn't quit. He kept going all the way. And then we're going to look ahead. As we observe communion, we look ahead to when we're with him, when we've crossed the finish line. And he's got a better country, a better city waiting for us. And the best part of that country, the best part of that city is who's there. It's Jesus. He's there. He's seated at the right hand of God, waiting for us. And so look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, even as we sing this next song, which really looks at Jesus, what he did for us, and praises him for going through the cross, enduring it, not quitting. It's good to acknowledge the difficulty of life. It's good to acknowledge that we're tempted to quit. But it's better, it's far better to look to Jesus and to run with endurance. Let's pray. God, we are thankful. We're thankful that Jesus did not quit. When tempted, he didn't give in. When under intense, excruciating agony, he didn't stop. But he went all the way. He endured all the way to the cross. And so, God, we're thankful because it's only because of that that we have hope. Hope for now, hope forever. Lord, I pray that our church, both individually and collectively, that we would endure. Father, I pray for individuals who are here who are tempted to quit, maybe tempted to not continue gathering with our church, maybe tempted to step away from you altogether, to leave the faith. Lord, I pray that you would keep them, that they would endure by looking to you. Father, we thank you that we are called to run in the context of a church. So we thank you for the encouragement of others, both others throughout history, but especially others in our midst. Lord, we pray that we would endure. Father, now as we sing and then as we celebrate your sacrifice, help us to look to you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.